So yesterday you shared a number about a number of teachers that you had found that were good mentors to you. And some of them you had mentioned that you had spent long periods of time with or, you know, interacting with, and others that you only sort of took opportunities to go and pay respects to at certain times. And I think that's a common element or experience of a monastic, living with certain teachers and then going and paying respects to others. What are the different things that we can learn from these different kinds of mentors, or is there certain things that we can be paying attention to when we do go pay respects to?
Well, certainly the, because you pay respects to them usually at their monastery, so then you get a feel for the training that they've been giving to their community, and that that's another aspect of learning and seeing how, say, like Lukdar Mahabhu, they've set up his monastery. From the time he set it up as they would only have. There's no kitchen at his monastery, so it's completely one of the two. They rely on the Dutanga Wata of Pindabat food. That being said, there's usually quite a line out the front of the monastery when you come back offering lots of food. But it's still, it's a different way of organizing, and then it does everything very quickly, in terms of there's a certain, you know, everything's around the sala. There's a bit of kind of, I didn't stay there very long, but there's this kind of, there's everything has to be done really quickly, and there's a bit of kind of tension and tightness. But then you go out to the dying shed for tea time, and it's very comfortable and laid back. And so it's interesting ways because when you're in a monastery, it can't just be all sort of push and fast and tight and whatnot. And like Pindabat is, you know, you need to have going into training before you can keep up with them. You know, they're pretty. Would that be fair?
Yeah. Initially, I actually didn't know if I could walk that fast. I don't know if I'd ever walk that fast. And you're barefoot also, obviously.
Yeah, on those rocks. So but it's also balanced with something else. So that was, but also I received really, you know, a lot of encouragement in meditation and development, and in particular, I had quite a long meeting with him at Ajahn Uthai's. The year that I was on retreat, and he gave me a lot of time, and was very encouraging in meditation and giving me some very, very good advice. And he was also incredibly generous when he came to Wat Pa Phong after Ajahn Chah's death. Actually, I was right after Lumpa Cha passed away, then myself and Lumpa Biek were tasked to go down and inform the Sangharaja, several of the Somdets and senior monks of Lumpa Cha's passing as emissaries from Wat Pa Pong, like a formal letting know that Lumpa Cha had passed away. And then Lumpa Liam had asked me to, and a couple of the senior monks had asked me to, once that's done, then go to Udon and let Lungdan Mahabua know and invite him to come to Wat Pa Pong to visit. And so I went down. Staying at Lumpa Biek's place, and we went and did our, it didn't take that long, and then set up a flight to Udon, arrange for a car to pick me up at the airport, take me to Lungdan Mahabua's, and then take me to Ubon. It's not down the street, and it was scrambling to get it done, and then there wasn't any seats on the plane, and I actually had to pull rank, and kind of I contacted it was the Deputy Prime Minister at the time, and explained the situation, and they must have bumped somebody off the flight and got me on the flight, and then because those days there weren't so many flights up to anywhere really, and then so it's all it's really scrambling to get this done, and then 10 o'clock that evening, Lumpa Liam phones Lumpa Biek and he said, no need to go to Lumpa Mahabua's, come straight back into Ubon. And I said, but Lumpa, I put a lot of people out to do this. And he said, no, just come straight back. And, okay. So anyway, I had to rearrange things and get back to Ubon. And then about 2 days later, then Lungdan Mahabua showed up on his own. Sort of, any communication was definitely not like it is now, where you pick up your cell phone and call the secretary or call this person and do that. That wasn't around. But somehow they were in the ether. Lungdan Mahabua came and gave a really lovely talk to the lay community, spent a lot of time with the monastics, and then stayed because we put him in Lumpa Cha's kuti and stayed up there, and he was quite long discussions with a group of us that had further questions. He was just very giving and warm, really concerned that we're, as a community, we're okay, we're solid. So it was really quite touching. So those going to Lumpa Bands. I mean, Lumpa Bands is got to be the there's a great photo in that Lumpa Band book of the shoes outside the sala. Sort of like, that's got to be the only monastery in Thailand that's able to accomplish that, where everything is really neat and tidy and really in place. And I don't think that was a stage photo. Lumpa Ban is very particular, and his monks are really well trained. But he was also somebody who was really very warm, very encouraging. And he came for the cremation, and but he didn't send word he was coming, he just showed up about, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night of the cremation, and the cremation at midnight. And then I heard over the radio that, because a few of us who were organizing, well, we had radios to keep in touch with each other. Wat Bapong's a big monastery. I can spend a lot of time running around. But I heard over the radio that he was out at the chedi, and so I beelined to get out there. And I was kind of moaning a bit, and I was saying, really tired from all the organizing and dealing with the details of the cremation and ceremonies and whatnot. And I'm really tired, and I think maybe after it this is all over and it dies down a bit, maybe I'm asked to go up and spend a bit of time with you up at Doi Dhamma Chedi. And he looked at me really fiercely and he said, "You don't have to do that." He said, "You know what to do already. It's all right here." It's really like, you know, quit moaning and feeling sorry for yourself. You got the practice already. Do it. That's great. It really cut through. So that was really.